Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Retirement Mark Show with Mark Lumia, your retirement income specialist. You know that song? Well, happy birthday to Peter Noon of Herman's Hermits, who turns 67 years old this week. You know, Peter was only 16 when the Hermits hit number one with I'm Into Something Good and had a lot of financial success early in life. Mark, do you find that people who come into a lot of money while they're young don't plan well because the money won't stop and they're into something good?
Well, I remember when I was young, in my 20s, I remember the first month that I actually almost made $20,000. I made $19,980. I was $20 short of $20,000.
Whoa.
And I didn't work for the next 4 months. So if I had to do it all over again, I would have just continued to work. And so I know when people inherit money, you know, depending on your age, a lot of people just think life's easier and they don't control their spending and they don't look at, you know, they don't even know what they're really spending. They just spend, and then all of a sudden they're out of money. It's amazing how many professional athletes make millions and millions of dollars, and then they're retired and they're homeless.
Yeah.
You're like, how in the world could you just put away $2 million of that in a safe place and not ever run out of money? But yes, I think when people do inherit money, they still need to understand what they have and that it won't last forever if you spend more per year than will last for the rest of your life.
And it's important to pass that knowledge down to the next generations, too, because, you know, you want to be a responsible mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and maybe you've got a plan in place that your heirs are going to inherit a pretty sizable lump sum. Will they know what to do with it? And that's critical because that can be just as dangerous, don't you think?
Yeah, well, there's only three ways, basically, to have income. You have human capital, you have social capital, and you have financial capital. Human capital is the money you work for. Social capital is the money other people work for that you get. It could be Social Security, or it could be money you got from an inheritance. And then you have the third type, which is financial capital, the money that you've personally saved up. So if you inherit a big sum of money, sometimes you will not work anymore. You decide, hey, now I can do whatever I want whenever I want. And that's not a good plan. You still have to plan even if you get a nice inheritance.
And it starts with a plan. You can sit down and meet with Mark Lumia. Call this number, 1-800-7-MARK-72. That's 1-800-762-7572. Mark would like to offer you a complimentary retirement strategy session, so you're going to want to take advantage of that. Well, you know, one of the main fears of those approaching retirement is, I don't want to outlive my money. Well, a recent article in the Wall Street Journal took on that topic and offered some solutions. Mark, what's your opinion on the article?
From the article, there were four different things. There was the 4% rule, which I'll get to in a second. Number two was using inflation index T-bonds. Three was if you plan to live for 20 years, you basically take 1/20th of your nest egg per year. And then fourth was the use of annuities. So in the 4% rule, the downside is if you don't adjust your portfolios depending on change in market value, you can get in trouble fast. So I'll give you an example of John and Susan. John and Susan both have $500,000. They're both getting ready to retire. They're both going to take $25,000, and it's going to increase 3% every year how much they're going to take out. Now, because of sequence return risk, that's the risk of when you get the negatives versus when you don't get the negative. So if you look at the S&P 500, the last 14 years, there's only been four negative years. But let's just say we look at 25 years of history and you put them in a certain order and you have the negatives in the beginning, you have one negative in the middle and one negative at the end. Mm-hmm. And then for Susan, you just flip-flop it. You take the same exact rates of return and you just flip-flop it. So whatever was last is now first, and whatever was first is now last. Well, what would happen is John would run out of money. He would have collected like $580,000, and then he would be out of money. But Susan, she would have $1.7 million left, and she would have collected $911,000, all because of when you had that negative.
Oh.
So that's important. Using inflation index T-bonds, the downside is the poor return. People will say they have low return. The downside is if you plan to live for 20 years and take 1/20th of your nest egg per year, you can basically shortchange the early active years of your retirement. And what if you live more than 20 years? So what will happen is if you're just taking what you have and you're doing a systematic withdrawal and you're taking 1/20th of it, well, most people when they're younger, they're healthier. So maybe you spend more when you're healthy and can do things, and when you're older, you're going to spend less. You're not necessarily going to spend the same amount each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then if your plan is wrong and you don't live 20 years, let's say you live 40 years, you can be out of money. So you have to plan for contingencies. The one way you can plan for that is the use of annuities, number four. Basically, go get them, because what will happen is you put money into an annuity. Let's say you let it grow and roll up, and maybe it has an income rider on it, and we call that a hybrid annuity. And then 10 years from now, let's say you're 60 when you took it out. 10 years from now, you're 70, and you turn on this income stream, and it'll pay you until you both die, you and your spouse. So the good thing about the use of annuities is you can create an income stream that you'll never outlive. And sometimes if you hold them long enough and you're getting this income long enough, you can get 2-3 times the money you put in out, depending on how long one of these lives.
That's impressive. And speaking of annuities, if you go to retirementmark.com and then scroll down, looking on the right-hand side, underneath downloading Mark's book for free, Thinking Outside the Money Box, keep scrolling underneath the free report on Social Security, you'll get to the free report that Mark has for you. It's called The Truth About Annuities, The 7 Things You Need to Know Before You Purchase an Annuity. Another helpful resource that Mark wants to make available to you. Take advantage of that today, retirementmark.com. Download your complimentary copy. I downloaded mine to my tablet. That way I can just scroll and read it and reference it when I want to. One of the hot topics recently is mortgage rates. And AP correspondent Jackie Quinn reports some experts think mortgage rates won't drop below 4% again, at least not for another generation.
Even a slight drop in mortgage rates can translate into big savings over the long run. For a $220,000 loan, that half-point reduction in financing would produce savings of about $50 a month. But analysts warn about the cost of fees.
Mark, if we're nearing or in our retirement, should we look into refinancing our home?
Well, that's a tricky question, and here's my honest answer. If someone's moving from one area to another, obviously you're going to be selling your home, or you might keep it as a vacation home. But when you move to the new place, you might have the opportunity to pay cash for the new place. Now, everyone's always grown up saying, hey, pay off your mortgage. And if you pay off your mortgage, you know, you're pretty set. Mm-hmm. Well, that could be true, but there's other circumstances. Let's say you bought your house back in 2007 and your mortgage was $416,000. You had it 100% financed. And all of a sudden, the market crashes like it did in 2007, 2008. And now your $450,000 house is only worth $220,000 and you have a $416,000 mortgage. Well, your option is, if you sell it at $220,000, you're going to lose that couple hundred thousand dollars or the $196,000.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, maybe you could have negotiated a short sale with the bank and they would have forgave the balance.
Oh.
So in that case, was it better to have your house fully mortgaged, or was it better to have it free and clear? I'm saying it would be better in that case to have it fully mortgaged. So there's different circumstances, not as cut and dry as having your mortgage paid off. Now, when someone's retiring, say to where, mainly where I work is the Villages, North Central Florida, well, they may have a lump sum. If they come to me and say, hey, should I buy the house for cash or should I finance it? Well, I'm going to explain a lot of different stories like I just did and let them decide themselves. Now, on the other hand, if someone comes to me and they already bought the house for cash and they're free and clear, I would never tell them to mortgage it, because that just wouldn't, in my eyes, wouldn't be appropriate. Hey, take money out of the house so you can invest it.
Oh.
So it's a different mindset. So basically, it's both. The answer is both. Sometimes I tell people to not refinance it or mortgage it, and it all depends on the situation. So it's case by case, and I can tell you tons of different stories where it was better not to have it mortgaged, because then you have liquidity, use control of the money. Basically, your house, the money you have in your house, doesn't have a rate of return. The house may go up and down in value, but the money you put into it doesn't. So some people might think, in a low interest rate environment, don't put money into the house. You know, keep it on the side. If you have the money on the side to pay it off anytime you want, it's kind of like it's already paid off. But guess what? If interest rates go up, now the money that's on the side can earn those higher rates of return. If it was in the house and you had a mortgage to get the money out, you would pay a higher rate anyway. So
yeah. It's
case by case. That's why you have to come in for a retirement strategy session. Like I said, I would never tell someone to mortgage their house. The only case that would ever happen is something called reverse mortgages. If that's kind of like your last option, or it could be a strategy where you can get a line of credit as a reverse mortgage and not have to pay payments, you have to understand the fees. But in some cases, as a last resort, I will mention reverse mortgages, but that's different than the conventional mortgage we were just talking about.
Well, and as you can hear, Mark looks at every situation very carefully and from many different angles to come up with the best strategy for you and your family. We want to thank you for sharing your evening with us, and we hope you join us every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here on News Radio 102.5 and AM 540 for the latest retirement planning tips and financial news. Would you like to meet with Mark to discuss solutions on how to increase your wealth, or you want to get a second opinion to see how you're doing? It's easy. You can call Mark at 1-800-7-MARK-72. That's 1-800-762-7572. Mark, it's been another jam-packed show tonight. In fact, we didn't even get to everything. But we appreciate that you take this time to share with us your final thoughts. I know you're getting ready to finish up another busy week.
Yeah, I have a lot going on. I have a coaching call, and then after that coaching call, I just start seeing people for the Medicare. Tonight, we looked at some options you have in retirement. We talked about Social Security, talked about the 1.7% increase on people's Social Security check. We also talked about the Medicare decisions and the things you need to look for in your Part D plans. And, you know, my goal each week is for you to leave the show with a greater confidence about your retirement planning. And remember, every Wednesday at 7 p.m., this is Retirement Mark, making every dollar count.
Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Retirement Wealth Advisors.